Well, thank you for having me. Like Dr. Hanna said, I am from Culver, the Culver Church of the Nazarene. Culver is a town the size of 14 people. No, it's a little bit bigger than that, but not by much. It's got, I know, it's off this Highway 97. It's about 1,300 people, no stoplights, three restaurants, and I've cooked in every one of them. So, there's a restaurant that we go to every Sunday that they know be my name. I don't have to place the order, and when it gets jammed up, I stand up and I go cook in there. It's fun. It's a good little place. So, I did just get ordained, like Dr. Hanna said, and one of the scariest moments, and I don't think I've told him this, but when I got done with my interview, one of the scariest moments was I was waiting out there, and it seemed like forever before they got back to me. When I walked in, the couple right before me, they just got done with the interview, and it seemed like 37 seconds, and they, you know, got out, went back in, everybody clapped, and they were ordained. Well, me, it seemed like an hour and a half. I got done, and they were talking, and pizza went in, and pizza came out, and continued to talk, and then finally they came in, and I was waiting for a clap, and I didn't get a clap. But I was like, oh man, I messed up something, but all turned out well. So it was a good accommodation and a good acclimation and a good joint. So it was awesome. But so this morning I get the honor of preaching here, and I'm going to be preaching out of Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to be focusing on verses 1 through 4. So that's where we're going to be preaching out of, and that's where we hear God's word today from that. So but let's pray real quick, and then I'll dive on in. Father, we thank you for this time, and I thank you for this opportunity to speak in front of this amazing congregation led by an amazing pastor. And I just continue to pray that this church walks the good news out to a community who needs to hear and see your name,
yes, yes,
that needs to see the love that you've given us from the day that this world was created.
Yes.
I continue to pray that we just focus on you, focus on where you're calling us, and focus on the gifts that you've given us, namely Jesus Christ. In your name I pray. Amen. How many of you had an amazing summer? I did. Yeah. I know. Yeah. Work kind of gets in the way of life, doesn't it? Yeah. It does. One of the things that I enjoyed most about the summer was the Olympics. The Olympics, I like watching it because there's a lot of things in there that I can't do, so I feel, I like watching other people do it. So, I wish work was an Olympic sport. That way I could watch people do it. But no, the main reason I like the Olympics is because there's so much there that I get to see that I never knew. The athletes there have dedicated their lives to training for a specific event. They've come together from all over the world to do things that I didn't even know existed. I barely knew that roller skating and skateboarding was an Olympic sport now. I'm waiting for napping to become an Olympic sport because that way I could train for Olympics. But, no, they come together not only to do the things that they have been training to do, but represent something that's bigger than them. They represent their country, and they represent those teammates that they have trained with. In a lot of ways, we are a team that is training for the Olympic sport. I mean, we've got years of devotion, years of training, years of just getting our the things that God has called us down. So we are kind of a little bit like an Olympic team. So we are the best of the best, which is awesome. So, but the one thing that I noticed in the Olympics that I didn't realize that I ever think I could do was there's this sport in the Olympics called a marathon. I'm not built for marathons, but it exists. And one of the things as I kind of dove into the sport of running long distances was there was a gentleman in 1968 when the Olympics were in Mexico City. His name, and I'm going to pronounce his last name wrong, but his name is John Stephen Aquiri. And he is from Tanzania. Now, he had trained his whole life to be a marathon runner. He liked to run. And as he got to that point in Mexico City where the Olympics were, they got ready for the race, and they went. And he finished the race, but not very well. he came in last place. And but that's okay, because the story that he had signifies something that I think we all can take home. See, as he started to go the race, he never trained in an atmosphere that was as high as Mexico City. He came from Tanzania, which is, you know, a lot like Springfield as far as elevation. Mexico City is one of the highest capital cities in the world, so the elevation got to him. And as he continued to run, he had cramps, he fell, he stumbled, he was clumsy because of the things that were happening in the race. And yet, he still finished the race. He finished that race in 3 hours and 25 minutes. The winner of the race finished in 2 hours and 20 minutes and 26 seconds. It was an hour distance between the winner and him. But the thing is, he was only one of 17 people that finished that race. There were 79 people that started that marathon, and he was the 17th person to cross that line. Now, as he crossed the line and got his composure and was helped by his team, you know, his fellow runners, the interviewer at the time came up to him and said, "Hey, man, why did you finish? I mean, you're bloody, you're broken, you've got cramps, you're, you know, everything's going on. You came in an hour after the person that won it. Why did you finish?" And he thought about it for a minute, and he looked at the interviewer and said, "My country did not send me 7,000 miles to not finish the race." Wow. He owed it, in his heart, he owed it to his country to finish the race. Brothers and sisters, that comment really got me thinking. Each and every one of us are in a race. Jesus Christ did not sacrifice himself for us not to finish the race. Because, and some of you may ask, "Well, I don't know if I'm in that race. I don't want to run." Well, I want to do a quick survey real quick to see if you guys are in the race. By a show of hands, how many of you guys are alive today? Congratulations! You are in the race that God has ordained you to be in. That's all it takes. I mean, you got to answer the call, repent, and be alive. If we're still alive, we're still running the race. Some of us kind of may be discouraged or be stumbled or feel like the race is already over, but we're still alive, we're still here, we're still able. We can run the race. Now, I'm not, you know, I don't know if I can give any pointers on running a race, because I'm more for eating donuts than I am running a race. So, I know. So I went to a couple sources that I figured, I need to get some advice about how to preach on running a marathon. And the first gentleman I went to, he's a buddy of mine. His name is Pastor, why am I drawing a blank? He's Pastor Jaden. He's the lead pastor of a church right next to ours called Metolius Friends Church. And this kid, well, he's my age, he's not a kid, but this kid, he's about 5'2", 112 pounds, soaking wet. He gets up and runs. He finds enjoyment out of running. So I was like, I got to go talk to him. I got to find out what's his secret. Why does he love running? You know, and we did. We sat down and talked, and we went over the things. And, you know, he said, you know, you just got to train. You got to push yourself, train, proper diet. That's where he lost me. But he said, proper diet, you know, and train and do all sorts of things just to get your body ready for it. This is coming from a guy who just that week before got back from Salt Lake running a marathon 17 miles around a little island in the Great Salt Lake. I told him, I said, man, if I was going to go to Salt Lake, it wouldn't be to run. I'd be on a mission trip. But he did. He went, I mean, he was like, there was a marathon down there. I wanted to run it. So I went and ran it. I mean, he gets up and runs in the middle of our little community, which is completely opposite from Springfield. We've got sagebrush and juniper, not evergreens and amazing rain. So, you know, there's not a lot out there to look at or smell when you're running, but he enjoys it. He loves it. Yeah. Occasionally. Every once in a while. So, as I walked away from that, I was like, that, you know, he gave me amazing advice. but I need to go somewhere else. I need to figure out what else I need to learn about marathons. So I went to the place I should have gone to begin with. I went to Scripture. And I went to my knees and I prayed. I said, God, I need to know about the race that we're on and ways that we need to finish. We need to start and we need to be continually invested in your calling in our lives. And as I went doing that, he gave me the answer. And that's why we're diving into Hebrews 12 today. Fortunately, the Bible doesn't tell us how to run the race, but it gives us ideas of and ways that we can better ourselves to be involved in the marathon. There's three things that I want us to focus on today. Number one, get rid of the distractions in your life. Number two, get back to the cross. We need to keep our eyes focused on the cross. Number three, just run the race. All right, first point, get rid of distractions. In chapter 12, it is like this. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that is so easily hinders our progress. The first rule of training is get rid of, there's just things that will weigh you down. Most runners, marathon runners, they have lightweight shirts on, if they have shirts on. They have, you know, lightweight clothes, lightweight shoes. I've even heard of some runners clipping the back of their heels, the shoes, so they can lose at half of an ounce or whatever, just so they have less weight. They're shedding off any extra thing that could hinder them. Brothers and sisters, we need to do that too. We need to get rid of all the things that is weighing us down, that is taking away from our time with Jesus. We need to shed those, the sins, the things that kind of are roadblocks in our life. And they don't have to necessarily be the big things that we think of. A lot of us aren't going out on the daily and having murderous thoughts or anything, but it's the little sin, the little things that can get in our way too. As I was writing this sermon, I went to there's a local bakery in Madras, and it's called Eagle Bakery, and it's got some of the best cinnamon rolls in town. And I was sitting there writing this sermon, and as I looked up, they had three Marinberry cinnamon rolls. And I'm easily distracted by anything sweet, but especially when it's got Marinberry on it. And I was sitting there, and I was drinking my coffee, and I was reading Scripture, and I was taking notes, and I was formulating this sermon. And then I looked up about 30 minutes later, and there was two. Oh, goodness, somebody got one. All right, put it out of your head, Alan. Let's go. And then I was, you know, writing and going, and all of a sudden there was one. Ain't nobody going to take that last one except for me. So I got up, and I got that Marinberry cinnamon roll. Now, disclaimer, Marinberry cinnamon rolls are not sin. But it was the fact that I had to get up and lead the Word of God because I was distracted by something that took me away from it, that. You know, I don't want you going out and coming over to Eagle Bakery and saying, you know, he was calling you guys sinful. That's not what I'm saying. But anything that can get in our way and pry us from God, pry us from the love that He has, is a distraction. It could be those major things. It could be that we have murderous thoughts, murderous tendencies. We could have adulterous eyes. We could be having anything that you could name. But it also could be the little things, things that we don't necessarily think of. It could be our pride. It could be our impatience. It could be our desires. It could be opportunities at jobs. Many of us want to get ahead in our job to the point where we're making decent enough money so we don't have to work again. So those opportunities could get in the way of our relationship with Jesus. Yet, also, when we have times of hardship, times of stumbling, times of pain, that can be a distraction as well. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that the walk that we have is going to be easy. Because if the walk that Christ had led him to where it led him, we should know that this walk will be difficult.
That's right.
It's going to be hard. We're going to be cut out of society and we're going to be labeled in some respects. But we are on a walk that was ordained by God for us. He has given us a task, a calling, a marathon to run. If we continue to run it, expect the hardships, but don't let it break you. Point number two, get back to the cross. Get back to Jesus. We've got a huge reminder right there of what God and who Christ is. It says in Hebrews, at the tail end of Hebrews 1 and the beginning of verse 2, it says this: let us run without hindrance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Brothers and sisters, when our eyes are fixated on Jesus, when our eyes are fixated on the cross, there's nothing that can separate us from Him. When we sell out to God, we buy into His promise. When we give our lives to Him, there's nothing that can stumble us. It's when we kind of go astray with our eyes and kind of take our eyes off of where He's calling us that we kind of strip and fall. Does anybody watch football? Yeah. Does everybody, I know this is a very specific remember, but in Super Bowl 27, does anybody remember that game? Probably not. It was a while ago. It was the Dallas Cowboys versus the Buffalo Bills. And I pray that there's no Dallas Cowboy fans here. Nah. All right. So in that game, the most memorable moment that I can remember happened from that era. See, the Cowboys were ahead, and the Buffalo Bills had the ball, and they were driving. Jim Kelly drops back, and he's going to go past. And as he drops back, he trips and falls, and he stumbles, and the ball gets out. So it's a fumble. Well, there's a big old boy on the Dallas Cowboys named Leon Lett. Leon Lett is about 3 inches taller than me, about 100 pounds heavier than I am, maybe 90. It's been a good weekend. But and he's a big old boy, and he gets the ball mid-stride, but for big fellas, it takes us a while to get to mid-stride, but he got there, and he had the football, and he's running down the field. He's on the 40, and then the 30, yeah, and then the 20, and then he thinks he's got it made, so he's dancing and prancing, and he's got the ball up here, and he's high-stepping, and he's running, and all of a sudden, guess what happens? On the 1 yard line, a little fella by the name of Don Beebe comes up and pops the ball out, and they get the ball back. Leon Lett does not score a touchdown, which for me was kind of sad because it's always fun to watch a big old boy score. But he took his eyes off the goal.
That's right.
Don Beebe didn't.
That's right.
Don Beebe came up. He knew he wasn't going to give up until Leon Lett scored, and it never happened. Now, brothers and sisters, I don't think any one of us have ever had that moment like Leon Lett had. But in the same statement, all of us have had that moment that Leon Lett had. All of us have thought that we were going to finish that race strong, finish that moment glorified. What happens? We take our eyes off of it. Oh, some of us may say, I've been a Christian for 47 years. I don't need to worry about nothing. Some of the best people I know stumbled late in life. Some of us may say, I'm an ordained pastor now. I got nothing to worry about. Oh, brother, am I wrong if I think that? It's the moment in times when we take our eyes off the cross, take our eyes and ears off of what Jesus is telling us, that we leave ourselves open the ways that will lead us astray. We cannot afford to take our eyes off the cross. We cannot afford to do anything but depend on Jesus. Hebrews 12 verse 2 continues going and says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from start to finish. That last part, from start to finish, is key. All of us can remember the time when we gave our life to Jesus. All of us, if we finish the race strong, will know what happens. As we take our final breath, this marathon will be over, And if we finish strong, we will go to the other side where Jesus will say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." That is how we must live our life. Jesus, when He was on the earth, when He was here in the form of mankind, had doubts. He had temptations. He was all the things that He went through. He went through what man of God did, but He never sinned.
Right.
He never gave up. And He never took His eyes off of what His Father told Him to do. Yeah, He had to go to the garden and pray, "Father, Your will be done. If there's any other way, though." He knew what was coming the next day. But He finished the race strong. That day that He went to the cross was a day that I don't think any of us could have ever imagined. As He was beaten, bruised, whipped, and then put on the cross, He did so willingly for us because we couldn't do what He did. He gave us salvation. He gave us forgiveness. He gave us the ability to go home, to finish the race strong. When the race starts to hurt, when our legs cramp up, when our body hurts, remember what He did for us. Verse 4 says, "In your struggles against sin, you have not yet resisted the point of shedding your own blood." Brothers and sisters, we will have times where we stumble. But remember what Jesus did on the cross for us. Point 3, just get on with the race. Sometimes that's easier said than done. Just get on with the race. Just run. Just do it. I want to start. Let's read the starting point of Hebrews 12. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run the endurance of the race set before us." Brothers and sisters, chapter 12 tells us that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Now, this is coming off the heels of chapter 11 in Hebrews, where the writer gives us what many have considered to be the hall of faith, the hall of fame. That chapter has the big pillars of the biblical story, the Elijahs, the Moses, the Abrams, all the big boys and girls of biblical stories. Those people came before us to pave the way so that we may run the race. It's kind of like they've handed off the baton to us now, where we get to run the race now. But you know what is awesome about that hall of faith? Yeah, there's some big boys and girls in there. There's some big-time giants in our biblical story and our lineage. Each one of those men and women that are listed there are sinners just like you and I. Each one of those men and women had their own struggles. They stumbled. They fell. They doubted themselves. They doubted their calling. They doubted the marathon. Moses killed. Abram was impatient. King David murdered. King Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. He had a lot of, he had a lot of things going on in his household that shouldn't have been going on. And yet, what are they remembered for? They were remembering for finishing the race strong. Because God chose them in their weakest moment to have a great moment for His kingdom. For His will, to serve the race that He called them to serve. Each one of us has a race that we are running. The end point is the same. Each one of us has a race that God has called us to run. Pastor Hannah's is different than mine. Mine is different from yours. Your fruits, your spirits, your racing that you're going on is different, but the thing that binds us is Jesus Christ. Jesus has paved the way for us to finish strong, to glorify His kingdom. So as we leave here today, let's remember what Christ did for us, so that we may go out into this world and do what He needs us to do. Focus on Him and Him alone. Do as He commanded you to do, but most importantly, love. Love your God with all your heart, your entire soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I'm kind of paraphrasing that, you know, a little bit, but I'm kind of chopping down Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40, but what I'm telling you is love will get you to the end of the race. It's okay to stumble. It's okay to hurt. It's not okay to quit the race. Brothers and sisters, keep your eyes on Jesus, and the race will be won because it has been won because of what He did.